This is Molly Gamble, Editor-in-Chief at Becker's Hospital Review. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Patrick Robinson and Holly Loren. Patrick serves as the Dean of the School of Nursing and Health Sciences for Capella University, and Holly is the Chief Nurse Executive at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. Today we'll be discussing healthcare reform and how it affects nursing. Patrick and Holly, thank you for taking the time to speak with me to share your expertise with our readers.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
I'm very pleased to be online with you as well.
Great. Thank you so much. Holly, what are some of the most noticeable ways the Affordable Care Act has affected change for nurses?
You know, that's a great question. And I think if you talk to a nurse who's closest to the patients, whether that's in an outpatient setting or in a hospital, I think one of the things that they're really going to speak to, actually probably two things, is the added focus on patient outcomes. I think this has really allowed nurses to understand, as much as we as nurse leaders have always wanted to have great outcomes for our patients, it's now being driven by a very different agenda as well. And so it allows us, and I think all nurses would say this, we're very focused on this wonderful partnership with physicians and nurses now being very aligned in it's all about the patient, whether it's a quality outcome or a patient experience. And I think the second piece of that, it really has highlighted the importance of, regardless the care setting you work in, that now there's this continuum of care that is being linked together. So there's more of a focus on communication across that continuum, but also care across that continuum and making sure that the patient is receiving the care in the setting that is most appropriate. And what I mean by most appropriate would be probably in preventative stages more than acute stages. And so making sure that we have set up processes and structures so that care is happening in the least costly environment and keeping people more likely out of the hospital. And so it's really shifted where care happens.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with Holly. When I think about that healthcare reform, you know, the idea that we're in an era of pay for performance comes to mind. So that does bring about shifts in our traditional focus as nurses. We've always been focused on patient outcomes, but I feel that we as nurses are gaining much sophistication in terms of measurement of outcomes and really being able to take a leadership role in interprofessional care and monitoring of those outcomes. There's a rising call within the reformed healthcare environment for accountability and accountability and care coordination. And nurses are really answering a call, because when reimbursement is based on outcomes, uncoordinated care can in fact be uncompensated care. I think another element is, and Holly certainly mentioned, is the centrality of the patient experience. And that brings something like satisfaction, patient satisfaction, to the forefront of our minds. That's always been important, but that now becomes a key element to focus on as it is now linked to reimbursement. It also is an exciting time, though, for nurses in terms of our ability to expand our impact and to be more at the center of leadership within the healthcare environment.
Patrick, I couldn't agree with your comments more. Traditionally, I think nurses have been seen as the provider of care. And This is actually allowing and forcing nurses to be seen as managers of health. And the opportunities for nursing, I think, are just being explored as we look at what's happening from pay for performance and the Affordable Care Act. I think nursing has always been one of the best professions because there is such a diverse array of ways a nurse can contribute or make an impact, and this has just opened up a whole new journey for nurses, whether they are nurses who are baccalaureate or bedside nurses, but also from an advanced degree perspective and independent providers. I think we see more and more with this as we move into the Affordable Care Act, because I actually think that's one of the intents. Let's also not just have care provided in the least costly place. Let's have the providers step it up. And so the nurses become a provider that is very patient-centric and actually I think is more holistic in their approach than the traditional provider when we think of as a physician.
And I want to key into something you said about the nurse with the advanced education. So in terms of the opportunity for advanced practice nurses right now, I think our day has finally come. I think that in some ways the passage of the Affordable Care Act and the changes that have come with it have really been a watershed for the expansion of the role of advanced practice nurses. The research has always been clear about what advanced practice nurses can do, but now there is true incentive for integration of advanced practice nurses, for providing more primary health care within the coordinated health care system and in such innovative models as accountable care organizations and patient-centered medical homes. And it's only going to get better for us, and really it opens up a lot more opportunities and opportunities for quality care for many, many more patients because of that.
So you both walked through a lot of changes there. I'm curious as to what differences in healthcare delivery a patient might perceive today compared to 5 or 10 years ago. Holly, can you share some of your thoughts and observations on that?
I'd be glad to. One of the things that I think is foremost is that patients are coming to the table much more informed. I think some of that is related to what we have at our fingertips from a social media as well as the internet. But I also think the Affordable Care Act has put some skin in the game, so to speak, for patients. There is some ownership for them that they need to remain healthy or remain insured, and there's some, I'm going to call it, penalties if that is not achieved. But I think as a result of that, I have seen patients actually be more selective in where they want to go for care, whether that's a particular physician or even a particular hospital. And I can give you some interesting examples of what we've actually started to see and have started to develop even some structure around. We actually have patients called that are coming in for an elective surgery, and they might be calling in to find out for this particular type of procedure, if someone were going to have a elective hip replacement, what are our infection rates at our hospital? And they are comparing. So there's a bit of competitiveness that the providers in the hospital see as patients now are trying to make sure they're getting the quality that they hear is so important. So we have been able to respond to patients for the requests that they are seeking to find out more about physicians and their outcomes. And there's also the ability for patients to do that themselves through all of the different health grades or different public patient satisfaction and patient experience scores that are out there. So there is a lot more as a caregiver that we need to respond to, because patients are coming so much more into healthcare as owning their own health.
I certainly agree wholeheartedly, and I, you know, some of that I call sort of the rise of consumerism in healthcare. You know, there is lots more expectation from patients. There's lots more competition from patients. The experience and the expectation from that experience, I think, is a lot greater. One thing that has also starting to dominate is the dominance of communication and information technology that's sort of part of every interaction with patients. My mom, who graduated from nursing school in 1952, always says, you know, the nurses are always at their computer. And she also says, what are you teaching them today? But, you know, I think it is a difference. I think that the need for management of data and the input of that data is certainly perceptible to patients, and there are some shifts away from other tasks. So the experience today is enhanced in one way, but fundamentally changed in many aspects.
I know we even have the ability now to have an avatar, which I'm going to call is a mobile on-wheels device that looks like a computer or an iPad that can actually have a conversation with a patient in their room and it is like they're Skyping and asking questions and getting a real-time response. So the ability to bring education very close to a patient and very specific and very individualized, I think, is also very meaningful for patients. Now, certainly some patients may not prefer that manner in which to become educated, but what's nice, it's available when the patient is ready and not necessarily when a caregiver is available. So it's almost education just in time, so to speak.
That's amazing. Avatars. So I need to ask you now that you just walked through a lot of different changes coming forward. What do health professionals, including nurses, really need to effectively adapt to the changes that you just discussed and those changes brought on from healthcare reform?
Yeah, I think I can start with that one. I think that in many ways, the embracing of a spirit of continuous learning, you know, knowing that now more than ever, lifelong learning and a commitment to continuing to upgrade skills and to shift to new ways of thinking and new ways of doing are incredibly important. And this is all sort of superimposed on all kinds of changes that are happening, not only because of the Affordable Care Act, but in advances in medicine. I mean, there's been the advent of precision medicine. So the whole idea that how we are going to even treat chronic conditions in pathology is changing. So that's shifting. And then things like the emergence of infectious diseases like Ebola and Zika. So all of these things are, combined to produce a very dynamic and shifting landscape for nurses. It's volatile, actually, at this point. So embracing that uncertainty, embracing that ambiguity, and knowing that you're going to have to find different ways to do things is really important. And I think it's important for the well-being of the nurses, too, in order to make sure that they are capable of managing themselves and their own expectations through such volatile times.
I also think, in addition to that, the role of the nurse is increasingly critical and more prominent, and the nurse needs to be very comfortable with having that equity of voice with the interprofessional team. The nurse spends the most time with the patient. That is obviously not new, but how that nurse brings his or her knowledge to that team, and that could be in the way of education. It could be in the way of being the first person to identify risk or harm that the patient might be vulnerable for based on their unique presentation that they come to the hospital and their clinical diagnosis. They're the communicator. They're the person who really, because of this bundling of care, of which now all physicians in different specialties are working together, and I think the work with our hip replacements has been instrumental in that from the CMS perspective of having the rehab physicians and having the surgeon and having a medical physician and then the continuum of care start to play a key role in looking at the patient of what they need over the course of that hip replacement from before they come into the hospital till their recovery and rehab, regardless of where that rehab happens. The nurse is the person that is best able and most suited to manage that entire element of care. I also believe it is the nurse who is typically the one that pulls the team together to make that happen. If there is a family meeting that needs to happen, it's the nurse that's going to drive that. It's the nurse who's going to force people and providers to come together and meet with a patient and a family to determine that plan of care. There is more and more focus on frailty. And as we look at healthcare in the United States, we have a very high cost of healthcare here in comparison to other countries, and not necessarily improved outcomes related to that. So I think it's front and center now for us as nurses to look and see what are the goals of care for a patient, particularly as they enter their later years in their 80s and their 90s. I'll give you an example. We looked at a few years back, what percent of our patients in their 90s had goals of care that were identified for future health care? And we were surprised at how many times this was not addressed. And to think about, if you wait until the patient is having an acute illness that needs attention immediately, that is not the right time to discuss that. So I think the nurse probably is the most comfortable having those discussions, and they need to probably happen before patients are in a hospital. So this continuum of care of what happens from a PCP office or a specialist office before care is decided, I think is really being forced by healthcare reform.
Yeah, I think, you know, Holly is pointing to, you know, one of the goals of the triple aim, which is population health. So increasingly our understanding of distinct populations and the entire continuum of prevention, screening, curative care, and rehabilitation for segments of the population like the frail elderly is somewhat new thinking, not only for nurses, but for healthcare in general. And Holly's absolutely right. It is nurses who are going to lead the way with those innovative innovations in terms of supporting the health of distinct populations, whether those be divided by age or ethnicity or region or even particular conditions and pathologies.
Great. Thank you both. Interesting times nurses are living in, but so, so important of a role they play still. Holly, I'm curious what you think about this, but going forward, what additional changes you anticipate coming in the next few years for nurses as a result of further reform efforts?
I think you will see more and more nurses in independent practice, nurses that have advanced degrees that, as part of this population management and part of this, who are experts in health education, that nurses are going to take more and more of a role. I think nurses are also often more willing to move into some of our critical access areas or areas that healthcare is harder to find. I think we're also going to find more and more opportunities for telehealth as well, and I think nurses are going to play a huge part in that. I also believe healthcare is going to focus more and more on the patients that have higher risk. So what those subspecialties look like, I think we're going to look for expert practitioners from a nurse perspective as well to be the leaders in delivering care for our higher risk populations. And not necessarily in the hospital, but again, across that whole continuum.
Yes, absolutely, and part of that is going to be the continued shift out of the acute care setting, like Holly mentioned. I agree with everything that Holly said, and the caveat that I would put in is that it is an election year, and there's very distinct choices right now, and candidates for both the executive branch and many congressional races have clearly articulated health policies. So I think also a lot of the short-term future changes, like in the next 5 to 10 year period, are going to be clearer also come the holidays when they are more so than they are right now. And I think it's important for people to know the health policy agendas of the candidates they're voting for, and really to use sort of that knowledge when they're contemplating, you know, how they're going to personally steer their votes come November.
I think the role of nurse advocacy is never more important than it has been today. And I also believe there's never been more interest by nurses for helping to drive what's happening from a statewide and a national perspective. And we actually, in most of our statewide and national nurse organizations, have legislative committees, of which nurses are key players in that, and work with lobbyists as well as people that are senators or House of Representatives, and that has become increasingly more and more the norm rather than a period of time where I don't even think it was even discussed.
We have a strong voice, and I think that we use it, and it needs to be used more. We are the most trusted profession in the country, and we keep topping that list in the Gallup polls every year. So we have strength, and that strength is in numbers. I think the latest statistics are there's 3.5 million of us. We definitely are going to be part of the shaping of the future when it comes to healthcare reform by our grassroots action and also by advocacy at the local, state, and federal levels.
Thank you so much, Patrick and Holly, for your time and insight. To learn more about Capella University's employer programs for nurse development, please visit www.nursingtrack8020.com. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please email me at mgamble@beckershealthcare.com, and please make sure to regularly visit Becker's Hospital Review at www.beckershospitalreview.com for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.